AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Clear.
I'm Peter King in Orlando. The last thing Western New York needs is more snow, but it's getting it. And there's still a travel ban in Buffalo. The area is already buried under several feet of snow. John Thornton was among about 200 people who were stranded for 2 days at a Denny's restaurant east of Buffalo in Pembroke, New York.
There were families sleeping on tables, sleeping on, you know, three dining chairs, heads down on the table.
At least 27 deaths in Western New York have been attributed to the storm. Jackson, Mississippi is still under a boil water order. It's already beleaguered water system crippled by frozen pipes and decreasing water pressure. This woman is fed up.
The infrastructure concerning the water been bad like this for years. So it's no surprise that the water turned out like it did for Christmas.
FlightAware says today's cancellations are quickly approaching the 3,000 mark. The DOT is investigating why about half of yesterday's cancellations were on Southwest. The airline's Jay McVeigh says it was the storm, not staffing.
The fact that this one started west, swept east, and impacted almost every single one of our largest airports that put us in a position where we struggled to recover and we struggled to get our flight crews and airplanes where they needed to be.
Health agencies say COVID, RSV, and flu cases are starting to decline, but pharmacies are running out of over-the-counter cold meds for kids. CBS's Carter Evans spoke with one doctor.
The manufacturers are still manufacturing these medicines as much as they always have been. We are just seeing unprecedented demand.
Dr. Sean O'Leary with the American Academy of Pediatrics says mild to moderate symptoms are not cause for alarm.
What are you telling parents that are calling you in a panic?
I would say don't panic. You know, this is not going to lead to any kind of a complication with your child. These are medicines simply to make your child more comfortable.
The White House says Texas Governor Greg Abbott put lives in danger when he sent more busloads of migrants to the vice president's home, leaving them in sub-freezing temperatures. More from CBS's Caitlin Huey Burns.
Tatiana Laborde says her migrant aid group was alerted by other nonprofits in Texas on Friday afternoon that the buses would arrive in Washington on Sunday. They came a day earlier.
There is a way to do what Texas is doing in a way that preserves that humanity, providing them with warm meals, letting us know when the buses are coming ahead of time.
Who wouldn't like to end the year with a big bankroll?
Let's see if I can make you a millionaire tonight.
Tonight's $565 million is only the sixth highest Mega Millions jackpot. I don't know anybody who'd turn that down. Do you? Didn't think so. S&P futures are up 26.5. This is CBS News.
Brought to you by Clear, a faster, easier way through airport security. Try today for 2 months free by visiting clearme.com/CBS22 or use code CBS20.
Mental health challenges impact us all in some way. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services is working hard to meet these challenges, ushering a new model of mental health care, redesigned with you in mind. This community-based system meets people where they're at, with culturally competent services, better access, and no wrong doors to begin the journey. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services, here for you, close to home. If you or someone you know is experiencing a mental health emergency, contact 414-257-7222.
I'm 54, so basically, it's too late to start saving for retirement, right?
Not right. Starting to save, even in your 50s, can really make a difference.
Well, right now, saving seems hard to wrap my head around. Plus, with the way this year's been going...
Hey, listen, it's okay. You still got this. Just go to aceyourretirement.org. It's an online tool from AARP that can help you get your retirement savings on track no matter your age. It's free and only takes about 3 minutes.
I like 3 minutes.
Yeah, at aceyourretirement.org, you'll chat with Avo, the friendly digital retirement coach. Just answer a few questions and you'll get a personalized plan and tips to help boost your retirement savings. Tips that are easy to understand and tailored to your lifestyle.
I like that too.
Plus, it's sponsored by AARP, so you know they got your back. Just head to aceyourretirement.org and make your plan to start saving for retirement.
Thanks.
That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Kelsey Miles. Listen to MaxInc Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at MaxIncRadio.com. We are local music.
We are joined by the 57th Assembly District Representative, Lee Snodgrass. Thanks for being here.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
How do I need to adapt this based on what has changed since I first introduced it? Government does not move fast. I'm sure that's a shocker to all of you guys. Public policy doesn't change until public opinion changes.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Real information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the State of Wisconsin Sense for this Tuesday, December 20th. Coming up this morning, the Packers win. Some people will say it keeps their slim playoff hopes alive. I'm not going to jinx it by even talking about that. See how I didn't even talk about it? Wisconsin Republicans made tremendous gains by creating and playing up divisions between rural and urban areas, and then rigging the maps to maximize that rural-urban imbalance. But the data shows that can't outlast the party's need to broaden its base and appeal and compete on real issues rather than, say, manufactured grievances. We're also going to look back at 2022 and the big themes covered by Governor Tony Evers earlier this year in his State of the State address to see whether the 2023 edition might sound awfully familiar to a legislature that has treated most of the past year as a paid vacation. And we'll get a visit at 7:50 from Chad Holmes from Bull Falls Radio in Wausau. If you want to reach the show, radio at upnorthnewswi.com. Our phone number is 844-967-2789 or 715-388-7155. Aaron Zommers is here. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, Pat.
As often happens here, we are the morning after a primetime Packer game. And I don't know if you stayed up for most or all of it, or if the Packers' imaginary playoff chances were enough to have you not bother to stay up too late.
Yeah, that's about where I'm at. I just went to bed.
Yeah. I think the final was 24-12. I think I stayed up long enough to see the Rams get to that 12 mark and then said, that's plenty. That'll do. Especially given that I'm visiting from elsewhere and sitting here in the Eastern time zone this morning, gets to look really late by the time I can't even imagine games that regularly go till almost midnight if you live out here in this particular time zone. But be that as it may, the Packers did win.
I don't mean to just be like a fair weather fan. It still can still be fun to watch the games. I just also know that I get up at 3:45.
Yeah. Well, that's just it. See, my sports fandom can only take anybody so far when you have it. It's one thing if it's the seventh game of the World Series or something like that. But we're talking a regular season game near the end of the season. And yeah, there's no compelling stakes to really hurt yourself if you don't have to, especially when you've got, a couple of handsome fellows like me and Aaron willing to tell you early in the morning what happened, to say to you that A.J. Dillon ran for two touchdowns, looked like a human bulldozer. He had a great game. Aaron Rodgers threw a touchdown pass to Aaron Jones. This was all amid freezing conditions. The temperature was 15 degrees with a wind chill of 7. Just before the opening kickoff in that 24-12 victory over the LA Rams. Again, there are technically playoff scenarios that exist. And I get that the Vikings won the other day, being down 33 points or something like that. And it was the biggest deficit overcome. So, we're saying there's a chance. That's about all I'm going to say about that, because, again, it is just so ridiculously slim. And although the team was clicking better, you know, again, you still had Rodgers overthrowing a couple of times. You even had him talking about Monday Night Football, saying that, you know, when he was younger, you dream about playing on Monday nights. But, you know, he turned 39 earlier this month, and Rodgers said, quote, "When you're an older player, you want those noon games. So it's past my bedtime. I'm ready to go home and go to sleep." And while I appreciate the, you know, him being real about that, it also reminds us he's not the young gunslinger that he once was. But he did go 22 for 30, 229 yards, one touchdown, one interception. It is his ninth straight win on Monday Night Football, sneaking up on the longest streak by Kenny Stabler, who won 11 Monday night games in a row from 1975 to 1980. Also amongst milestones, Mason Crosby had a 34-yard field goal for Green Bay, playing in his 255th consecutive regular season game. And that ties him with Brett Favre for the longest streak in franchise history. So, assuming Mason Crosby plays in the next game when they visit Miami on Sunday, that will make Mason Crosby the new title holder for the most consecutive regular season games played in Green Bay Packer history. So the Packers, again, they go down to Miami next Sunday, and then their final two games are at Lambeau Field. They will host the Vikings and the Detroit Lions. And again, there's possibilities there. We'll just leave it at that. Over to basketball now. The Bucks beat the New Orleans Pelicans 128-119. Giannis had 42 points, 10 rebounds. Jrue Holiday capped an 18-point, 11-assist performance by hitting a three with a buck 17 to go so that the Bucks could hold off a late New Orleans surge to beat the Pelicans. Milwaukee has won 10 of its last 13 games. They're now 22-8 on the season. And they lead the NBA's Eastern Conference by a half game over Boston. And they will next be at Cleveland tomorrow on Wednesday night. So when we come back, we will take a look at the January 6th committee wrapping up its business with a public hearing that included criminal referrals for one Donald J. Trump. Is this finally the thing that causes him to face consequences? Again, like the Packers' playoff hopes, believe it when we see it. But we'll talk about it coming up on the other side of this break on Up North News Radio.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Plenty of people start something great in their 40s and 50s. Getting your retirement savings on track is no different. Go to aceyourretirement.org and in 3 minutes you'll get personalized tips to help boost your retirement savings. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today, with highs around 23. Southwest winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Partly cloudy again tonight, lows around 20. Partly cloudy tomorrow, highs around 37. Warmer Thursday and Friday, with highs from the mid-40s to the upper 40s. Scattered showers possible both days. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Hite. currently 7 above.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
All right, there's a good chance you just heard your forecast, and on the live radio across the Civic Media Radio Network. And if you were only paying half attention, I'm going to tell you again, pay attention next time it's up, because it is a serious, serious forecast for blizzard-like conditions. There are parts of the upper Midwest, it appears to be large parts of the upper Midwest, that are going to look like something out of one of those claymation, you know, Christmas animation cartoons where, you know, we need Rudolph's shiny nose. And there's a reason that some Christmas specials look that way, is because winter in Wisconsin gets that bad. And it apparently can be. It's only going to be a couple few inches of snow, you know, 4 to 8, maybe 6 to 10, depending on where you are. But then it starts blowing. And it's the blowing with, and it's not just blowing, you know, it's not blowing hot air. It's going to be blowing super cold air, bringing wind chills into that minus 25 to minus 40 range. And yes, this is absolutely going to wreak havoc on people's travel plans. And I'm not trying to sound alarmist, but we've all been on the roads. We have all seen people slide off the roads. If you have never been one of those people who has slid off the road into deep snow, into terrible conditions, and then has to wait for help, now imagine doing that with the whole family in the car, with, you know, presents. Maybe you've got your hot dish, you know, ready that you're bringing over to, you know, Aunt Shirley's place, whatever the case may be. You should seriously rethink that, you know, either in terms of adjusting your time or adjusting your plans, because they are making it sound like it's going to be that bad on Thursday, Friday. Hopefully things can be salvaged for Saturday. But by the way, if they are salvaged for Saturday, it'll only be because of the work of the men and women at your county highway department and other agencies and other folks who are out and about in terrible conditions, moving this stuff around. I think of those plow drivers, the sand truck drivers, all that. Every time I think of, you know, Scott Walker's war on public sector workers, and yes, primarily it was a war on teachers, but it was on all the public employees who work for us. And I think, you know, Scott Walker not once put himself behind a snowplow in blizzard conditions to keep the roads safe for folks. And yet, you know, he and his ilk, who still control the legislature, have such a low opinion of the people who keep the roads clean for them. So I just want those folks to know that some of us do appreciate them, outwardly so, and will never hesitate to call out our appreciation. Phone numbers to reach us, 844-967-2789, 715-388-7155, or radio at upnorthnewswi.com. A reminder that on the upnorthnewswi.com website, you will find all kinds of new stories, including a nice piece by Christina Laurie about a woman who's making Wisconsin buildings brighter, building very large murals one at a time. Her latest is a 95-foot mural on the side of a school in Janesville, and she talks more to Christina about her biggest projects and the advice that she would give to aspiring artists. So something to make you feel good on the website. That's worth checking out. Again, upnorthnewswi.com. All right, back to the lying eyes and lips and every other thing about Donald Trump and the end of the January 6th committee. It's a committee that really shouldn't be ending. The work should still go on despite the change in control of the House. But again, that committee should have had bipartisan representation from the start. And I don't mean that, you know, Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, nothing against them. What I'm saying is there should have been more Republicans from Kevin McCarthy on down who paid more than lip service to criticizing the violent nature of the attack. Other than that lip service, they have done everything possible to undermine this investigation into the deadliest attack on our government since the Civil War and the War of 1812 before that. And rather than assisting in that investigation, Kevin McCarthy, other Republicans, including the ones from the Wisconsin delegation, are all but promising that when they take control of Congress next month, they're going to investigate the January 6th committee and its investigation into what Trump did to rile up a mob with lies, encourage violence, and then stand by and do nothing for hours during a violent attack on the United States Congress and the U.S. Capitol. So the House Select Committee has wrapped up its work by voting yesterday to refer criminal charges against Trump to the Justice Department, wrapping up their 18-month investigation of the insurrection. The committee recommended that prosecutors pursue four charges: obstruction of an official proceeding of Congress, conspiracy to defraud the United States, inciting or assisting an insurrection, and conspiracy to make a false statement. The Justice Department already has an active investigation of Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 vote and his mishandling of government documents. The criminal referrals don't hold legal weight, but they do set a notable precedent, because with other impeachments, other downtimes in our country, Congress has never before referred a former president or a sitting president for criminal prosecution. But as was made clear yesterday again, no president has ever done what Donald Trump did. From George Washington on, you acknowledged that the basis of our democracy is rooted in free and fair elections and the peaceful transfer of power from those who lose elections. And then you regroup and you try to win the next election. You don't try to seize power. We don't do coups in this country until Donald Trump came along. It's the first time. Liz Cheney pointed out in her opening statement on Monday, Trump's decision was to watch the riot on television rather than take action to stop it. No man who would behave that way at that moment in time, she said, can ever serve in any position of authority in our nation again. He is unfit for office. Trump still has his supporters, of course. They are loud. They are colorful. But more importantly, I think for our case here, isn't that there are some people who are still fully devoted to Trump? It's that there are people who will use the people devoted to Trump to further their own careers. You know, the people who will tell you privately, and sometimes not so privately, that they think Trump is a clown. But since there are enough people in his tent in the circus, well, they're going to sell tickets over there, even though it does substantial damage to democracy. The evidence shows that there was, you know, an overriding, straightforward conclusion that the cause of January 6th was one man. It was Trump. And then many others followed him to various degrees. Committee member Jamie Raskin said the referrals were necessary given, quote, the magnitude of the crime against democracy. The committee has four lawyers on it. They worked to put together the potential criminal referrals and then presented them to the rest of the broader committee. The Justice Department declined to comment on the referrals. But again, there was a new special counsel on the case, Jack Smith. He recently sent subpoenas to officials in Wisconsin and elsewhere, asking for all correspondence with Trump and his campaign and his lawyers. Smith said in a statement that he would, quote, exercise independent judgment, which is fine. It's what you want. It's not like the committee is, you know, telling him what they want him to do, but merely making their own recommendations. The executive summary alone of the January 6th committee report is 150 pages. You know, normally an executive summary is a one pager, you know, maybe three paragraphs. The fact that the executive summary was 150 pages, you know, a booklet, just speaks to the volume of work done by the committee, the number of people they talked to, so that if and when they did make criminal referrals, there would be plenty of material behind them to make that case to a judge or to a jury. there's no lack of information. We see that. People who are in denial of it are, you know, frankly, and continuing to say, well, there's fraud there, you know, but there isn't. And they're going to, you know, they're going to say, are you going to believe me? Or are you going to believe your lying eyes? Because they still see some there that isn't there. That's fine. We have coddled that far too long. And it is far past time to take this information from the committee and elsewhere and put it to work. One of those examples deals with a point that Ron Johnson made about how he would not consider this an armed insurrection. Well, as we learned from the hearings over the summer, yes, it was. There were people spotted in the crowd with guns. It's in the radio chatter. It's in the video. There was presented in the reporting yesterday a previously unseen document from November of last year produced by the U.S. Capitol Police. It said Secret Service confiscated a haul of weapons from the 28,000 spectators who did pass through the magnetometers, 242 canisters of pepper spray, 269 knives or blades, 18 brass knuckles, 18 tasers, 6 pieces of body armor, 3 gas masks, 30 batons or blunt instruments, and then more than a dozen miscellaneous other items, scissors, screwdrivers, needles, things like that. And those are just the people that went through the security checkpoints, through the metal detectors. There were plenty more who had backpacks and weaponry that were seen outside. Now, the committee has pledged to make all of this evidence, all of its transcripts of its depositions, publicly available. And all of it, including the interviews, will show just what a conspiracy this was, where Trump set well ahead of Election Day the events in motion so that he could claim victory and not have to do just that most basic thing, concede you lost an election. Trump is one of those misguided souls who believes that the only path towards success is to never admit defeat, never apologize, never say you're wrong, never say you're sorry. Maybe that works as a, you know, as a fake real estate mogul in New York City. It doesn't work for the foundations of American democracy. And as a result, it has left our country in a place where far too many people, because of him, doubt some of the most basic elements of our society. They doubt the integrity of elections. They doubt the effectiveness of the COVID vaccine. They doubt the faith in public norms and institutions that have guided our country and have led to compromises and other agreements, they've undermined the win-win. We've talked about that with the record state budget surplus, but on the whole, they have simply undermined the notion of cooperating so that both sides can win, because in Donald Trump's world, you win or you lose. And he took a big gamble that through sheer force of will, he could win. He lost. This report lays it out big time. And now we'll see if he finally pays the price for that. More after this on Up North News Radio.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Western New York is getting more snow and the Buffalo travel ban is still in effect. CBS's Nancy Chan.
As snow continues to fall, this unrelenting storm is being called once in a generation, breaking records in Western New York with winds reaching nearly 80 miles per hour. Buffalo buried in 4 feet of snow.
Southwest Airlines hopes for a better day after 70% of yesterday's flights were canceled and thousands of flyers had trouble rebooking. Spokesman Jay McVeigh.
You know, at this point, we're working to accommodate our customers as best we can and offer the most options that we can to get folks back home.
Looks like we spent more this holiday season, just not quite as much as retailers wanted. Here's CBS's Matt Piper.
Holiday sales rose 7.6%, a slower pace than the 8.5% increase from a year earlier. According to MasterCard Spending Pulse, which tracks all kinds of payments like cash and debit cards.
CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Douglas LaFollette, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Good to be here, Mike. Across the country, in most every state, the Secretary of State is the person who is in charge of the election. And we've seen lots of hanky-panky in Florida back during the Al Gore elections, in Ohio and Georgia and Arizona and Michigan.
We appreciate you coming around, sir.
Check out the entire podcast library at darnwi.com.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, and our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. What's in your mind, Gina Beauclair?
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really missed you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
What's in your mind, Andrew of Detroit?
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
My Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
But early detection allowed us to take control of the situation together.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Follow Up North News with our daily newsletter. Go to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and click newsletter on the top banner. Once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
Say, live and let die.
Did you know you can follow Up North News Radio as a podcast? You can subscribe at all the usual podcast sites like Apple or Spotify. Also do it at the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. And if you're not near your radio or not near one of our radio stations, you can listen live on the Civic Media app so that you can take Up North News Radio with you on your morning commute and listen to us live on the drive. You can call into the show toll free anytime, 844-967-2789 or 715-388-7155. We are going to talk next about whether the Republican Party can evolve or die. And why do I say that? Because it's not just demographics that don't lie, but you know, the maps don't lie either. And a nice analysis of the maps was recently done by Craig Gilbert in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And before I get to that, I should note, I mean, we hear a lot about how Democrats used to have a vast majority of voter support across rural and northern Wisconsin. And we hear all the time about how it's all but gone at the moment. But it needs to be said now just as forcefully that Republican support in the growing suburban communities of Wisconsin is just cratering. And Craig Gilbert uses Wauwatosa as an example, a Milwaukee suburb. Wauwatosa was won by Scott Walker in 2014 by 5 points. So Walker plus five in 2014. 4 years later, when he lost to Tony Evers, he lost Tosa by 6 points. It went from a plus five to a minus six. This time around, Tim Michaels lost it by 40 points. It went from plus five to minus six to minus 40. And that's not an isolated case. Gilbert goes on to talk about all kinds of other data. He used a database compiled by John Johnson, a research fellow at the Lubar Center for Public Policy Research and Civic Education at Marquette Law School. It's a database that doesn't just look, you don't just get this county by, you know, county map. You see every one of Wisconsin's local units of government, more than 1,800 cities, towns, and villages, and how they voted in elections over time. We often talk about how there's a Democratic base, a Republican base, and then there are the, you know, so-called independents, the self-identified independents, which, again, you can never truly know, you know, are they independent? Do they strongly lean one way or the other, but they just don't want to say? They don't like having party identification. But we often talk about who captures those independents. Well, in the same way, we have a rural block and an urban block in a suburban block, and now suburban voters are the new independents, you know, the people that both parties are chasing most forcefully, because Republicans have fairly well solidified their appeal in rural Wisconsin, Democrats across the largest cities, and now it's who's in these suburbs. Why are they trending Democratic? Well, because, again, in suburbs, at first, when people moved there, they maybe considered themselves moving out to the country, and people thought of it as more of a rural area. But as those suburban communities grow, the people there get that sense of community, that they have to work together to solve the problems and chase the opportunities in their new hometown, rather than, as many people see it across rural America, you know, that rugged individualism, you know, of individual grievances, that government is some kind of a distant entity. In the suburbs, much like the cities, there's a growing sense of, no, wait, government isn't them. Government is us. What do we want to do? How do we want to solve things? That's my interpretation of what we're seeing in the suburbs. And, you know, Gilbert goes on to look at nearly 50 Milwaukee area suburbs and paints a picture of a voting shift of more than 20 points since Walker's victory in 2014. Some suburbs have seen shifts of 30 points or more, like we saw with Wauwatosa there. Every one of those suburban shifts has been away from the Republican Party. In places where, you know, the education level was higher, they've become bluer. The small rural areas have become redder, especially as they're being told that the higher educated folks are looking down on them when they're not. But it makes a very convenient talking point if you're trying to appeal to a group of people to somehow paint achievement in education as somehow elitist. Gilbert notes that the wild swings in the suburbs are simply too big to be attributed solely to people moving in and out of these places. The fact of the matter is voter preferences are changing. And they're changing for some reasons that are quite obvious. The Dobbs decision this year, for example, ripping away abortion rights. You also had just the existence of Donald Trump and all that he brought to politics, you know, up or down, depending on your point of view. But then you also have had now a decade of Republican action or inaction, as the case may be. The Republicans aren't the outsiders anymore. They've had a decade. And so any shortcomings that still exist that voters are noticing are now laid at the feet of Republicans who have controlled much of Wisconsin government for the past decade or so. They own Wisconsin's loss of professionals and young adults as they go to other states. And they're not going to be able to get people back running on ideas like cutting corporate taxes or even a flat tax, which is a gimmick more people are finally seeing through compared to years ago when it probably appealed to more folks. Rural Wisconsin is still very much in Republican hands right now, Gilbert writes. He examined the state's 1,200 towns. Those are those mostly square rural spaces that you see on almost every county map rather than the cities and the villages. When you look at the towns, and some people inaccurately refer to them as townships, myself included, because it's just sometimes it just falls out of your mouth that way. The townships or the towns, those account for 30% of the state's voters. So it's not a sliver of the electorate, but it is definitely a minority. In 2006, Gilbert writes, when Governor Jim Doyle was reelected, Republican challenger Mark Green carried all of the towns across Wisconsin by about a 5-point margin. 4 years later, in 2010, when Walker came into office, he carried those towns by 23 points. In 2014, the margin was 25 points. For Trump in both 2016 and 2020, he carried towns by about 25 points. And Ron Johnson made the margin nearly 30 points last month. But while in those towns, Republican support is solidified, there are simply fewer people all the time. Gilbert writes that in the communities where Republicans did better this year than 4 years ago, the average voter turnout was 620 people. In the communities where Democrats did better this year than 4 years ago, the average voter turnout was 3,000 votes compared to 620. So what does this mean? Well, unless you find a way to stem a decades-long decline in rural populations, Republicans are going to keep losing ground quite literally as voters who embrace living in villages and suburbs and cities choose Democrats and their ideas, again, because they're putting forth ideas. Republicans are moving lines around on a map, but their statewide numbers are suffering, and eventually they're going to run out of land to pad their dwindling arsenal of rural communities. They've made it this far because Wisconsin manufacturers and commerce and some billionaire friends have helped hold on to some seats, including, and maybe especially, the seats on the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. But if the court flips back to members who have a bias toward justice rather than ideological power plays, Republicans are actually going to have to start showing up for work and proposing ideas, not just inventing and nurturing grievances. The data and the maps don't lie. Wisconsin Republicans need to evolve, or their party is simply going to die. And again, that's all thanks to an article that I would highly recommend in the Journal Sentinel from yesterday by Craig Gilbert, again, formerly of the Milwaukee Journal, who now does, what is his proper credit now these days? I want to get to it, but naturally, the that Journal Sentinel website, man, I'm telling you, there's a special place in you-know-where for the people that that designed it. Let's see. He is now a fellow with Marquette University's the Law School's Lubar Center for Public Policy Research and Civic Education. Prior to that, he spent 35 years at the Journal Sentinel, 25 of them in the Washington Bureau. So he still writes for them while working as a fellow with Marquette University. One of the things I noticed in terms of, you know, whether Republicans are able to compete on ideas was a photo that somebody put up yesterday of a Dropbox. And it looks just like the one outside my town hall in Eagle Point up in Chippewa County, just a standalone thing, kind of like a mailbox, but I mean, you've all seen a Dropbox. And previously on Dropboxes, you would see signage that says, do not put your ballot here. Because again, the state Supreme Court out of thin air earlier this year invented a reason to say that Dropboxes were no longer legal for ballots. But the Dropboxes are being used again for something else. On it now, it says payment drop, place property tax payment here. And somebody put up a photo of it saying, remind me again why I can drop my property tax payment here, but not a ballot. And there isn't a good reason, of course. You talk to basically any clerk, and they will tell you about the work that they went through to perhaps purchase a good Dropbox, have it mounted properly and securely on a concrete pad. There's probably a security camera pointed at it right now because of safety rules or election security requirements. They're there. But again, this is what Republicans have been fighting against because of Trump and his assault both on elections and on the COVID pandemic, is that as people were taking the pandemic seriously and trying to make it easier to vote safely using a Dropbox, there was another party that was instead casting doubts on pandemic safeguards, outright fighting them in court, having them stripped away, fighting mail-in voting, fighting Dropboxes, trying to purge voters from the voter rolls. And that might have been fine if there were other ideas to go along with it, but what were the ideas of this past year? Well, crime is running rampant and inflation is running rampant. Well, crime was never running rampant in most places. Most people in their surveys said they felt safe and secure in their daily lives. They said it was an issue to them, but again, only because that's the messages they were seeing. Inflation's on its way down, and we have not yet seen from the Republicans an actual plan on fighting crime. Instead, we're again hearing about, migrant caravans with, again, no solutions being proposed whatsoever. It's worth reminding one more time that we have some terrible weather coming our way, a storm that the exact track is far from certain, and you're going to see some unusual numbers on the maps. Again, bear in mind that those are ranges, and that the 6 to 10 inch band, might go along, just making something up here, go along Highway 29. But it turns out that by the time the storm gets here, the band of snow actually falls along, Highway 10 instead. So as you see these maps, please do not use them for anything other than a guideline and assume that you're not that far from a place where the worst possible weather scenario could happen with you, and take it easy. An update on your specific forecast is coming up, and more after this on Up North News Radio.
Mental health challenges impact us all in some way. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services is working hard to meet these challenges, ushering a new model of mental health care, redesigned with you in mind. This community-based system meets people where they're at, with culturally competent services, better access, and no wrong doors to begin the journey. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services, here for you, close to home. If you or someone you know is experiencing a mental health emergency, contact 414-257-7222.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
My Shiro always goes the extra mile, stretches every dollar, puts others first. But now it's your time, Mom. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings now at aceyourretirement.org.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today, with daytime highs approaching 23. Winds out of the southwest, 10 to 15 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 20 tonight. Partly cloudy skies. Partly cloudy again tomorrow. Highs around 37. Chance for scattered showers Thursday and Friday. Upper 40s Thursday. Low 40s by Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently 7 above.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Time for This Day in Music History. It was on this day in 1948, the birthday of Alan Parsons, of the Alan Parsons Project. This is Sirius, a song that is kind of the prelude to Eye in the Sky. Parsons was born in London, started his music career as an assistant engineer at Abbey Road Studios. Not a bad way to get your resume going. He engineered Paul McCartney's Wildlife album, Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon. So I think he knew a thing or two about it, but I mean, those of us of a certain age have to acknowledge that when we hear Sirius, that song right there, it feels like there's something missing. It feels like we should be watching the NBA on NBC and we should be hearing something more like this. That's kind of more in line with where that song is always. And I have no idea if Alan Parsons is a Bulls fan or not. He'd better be, because it sure got him a lot of exposure over the years. I can still hear, you know, Michael Jordan's name being screamed out at the very end of it. All right, that was Alan Parsons, born in 1948. Let's go to 1962, where the Osmonds performed on the Andy Williams Show for the first time. The group only went up from there. At that point, Donnie wasn't old enough. Jimmy hadn't even been born yet. But you might want to look up this video. The boys still had a great stage presence, and they're very funny in this clip from the Andy Williams Show on December 20th, 1962. So that's, you know, it's not quite, you know, One Bad Apple or, you know, Crazy Horses or the other things the Osmonds would later do. But, you know, you got to start somewhere. 1969, Peter, Paul and Mary had a number one single on this Christmas week, 1969, with this. All right, now it's time for my Peter, Paul, and Mary story. Aaron, Peter, Paul, and Mary includes Peter Yarrow. Peter Yarrow continues to sing and make appearances at places to this day. 10 years ago, in the waning weeks of my campaign for Congress, at the campaign headquarters in Wausau, we were getting a visit from Congressman Dave Obey. And Dave Obey brought along a friend, Peter Yarrow of Peter, Paul, and Mary. And Dave played harmonica, and you know, Peter played guitar and sang a few songs for all of my campaign staff and supporters that were in the Wausau headquarters that day. So bet you wasn't expecting that I had a Peter, Paul, and Mary connection.
No, I was not.
It was on this day in 1973 that Bobby Darin passed away at the age of only 37 after heart surgery. Bobby Darin was one of the first teen idols. He had Dream Lover as a number one single in 1959. Bobby Darin would eventually have 20 top 40 hits during the 1960s, including, of course, Mack the Knife that we played a couple of weeks back. Now, let's set up to 1986, where the Bangles had the number one song for 4 weeks with a song that will still get stuck in your head for an entire day if you let it.
All the old paintings on the tomb, they do the sand dance, don't you know? If they move too quick, oh, well.
And then this final note in, on this day in music history, it was on December 20th, 2004, rather, that Paula Abdul clipped another car with her Mercedes, and then she drove off. She would later be formally charged with leaving the scene of an accident, and she would plead no contest to something she'd sung about years earlier. That poor girl's never going to let that down. If you sing about a hit and run, don't commit one yourself, or that clip will follow you till the day you die. I thought today was going to be a lot tougher after visiting one of our daughters and a couple of our grandkids. The one is 3 years old, and Aaron, your niece is 4 years old now, right? So I think this will kind of be in that same vein. We were expecting, because sometimes you get the very tearful goodbye, the, you know, you don't go, and the big hugs and everything. But we thought, well, let's instead stick around and, you know, tuck them into bed, and then we'll head out after that. Or in this case, head out, you know, the next morning. And sometimes the little kids do you a favor. They do the work for you. We'd run him ragged. We went swimming. We did all kinds of activities. And when he was ready for bed, man, he was ready for bed. We read a book, and then he wanted his mom to read him a book. And so he wanted us out of the bedroom. He shooed us away. He's like, you know, bye, grandma, bye, grandpa, you know, gives us this hug. And we're expecting something bigger and more teary. And he's like, bye, bye. Now, I know he's going to wake up this morning and wonder where the heck we are, but you know, sometimes kids will actually help you with when it comes to the goodbye, going, yeah, okay, I got other things to do. Don't need you. Kind of like dropping off at daycare. It's all tearful at first, but then they don't want to leave. They're playing with their friends, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely, kids are weird. They just, I know we've all been there, but it's so funny how sometimes they're super tired and they're just like, no, I am not going to bed. And other times they're somewhat tired and they're just like, okay, I don't care where I am right now. I am sleeping. And that's just how it is.
Oh yeah. And that would be the other one. The 9 month old, my wife was watching her yesterday while I was doing work for this show and for Up North News. And she sent a couple of pictures of the little one absolutely resisting taking a nap. And she takes a selfie with her, and I'm looking at the picture, and her eyes are just so tired, but she's got this defiant look like, I'm not falling asleep for you. I only fall asleep for my mommy, you know? And eventually, it took time. Eventually, there was a picture of her asleep on my wife's shoulder, but they're stubborn, man. If they don't want to go to sleep, they're just not going to do it till they're good and ready.
Don't we do the same thing, though? It'll be like, oh, I know I should go to bed, but I'm going to stay up and watch another episode of this show, or I'm going to watch the Packer game or whatever. But we really know we just need to sleep.
Yes, God, without a doubt. And it's great because, you know, we grandkids are the best. But I would argue nieces and nephews the same way, in that we get almost all the benefits and very little of, you know, the heavy lifting that the parents have to do.
Oh, yeah, I agree. And I love that aspect of it for sure.
Yeah, but we also, you know, we do our share of the heavy lifting. And sometimes you got to give mom and dad a little break, even if it's just to go on a date night or make a run to the grocery store or whatever the case may be. So to all the grandparents and all the aunts and all the Uncle Aarons out there, you know, thanks for what you do. You're helping parents more than sometimes they might let on. Let's take a break for the top of the hour. News and more after this on Up North News Radio.
Walk like an Egyptian.
In celebration of our first holiday season in Waukesha, WAUK Radio would like to say thank you for welcoming us into your homes, your schools, your businesses, and your vibrant neighborhoods. It was also our honor to broadcast the 59th annual Waukesha Christmas Parade, sharing the inspiration and magic of the season as our community continues to heal and shine.
Hey, Mayor Riley, he's going to come by for a quick hello. Mayor, we brought the mic out just for you, Mayor.
Hello.
this is great. This is beautiful.
We're really glad you're here. Chief Daniel Thompson, great to see you. Say hello.
You
Merry
well.
Christmas.
Thank you. God bless everybody. Merry Christmas.
All right, thanks so much.
Together, we are Waukesha Strong.
And thank you all, of course, for listening and being a part of this broadcast. On behalf of Civic Media, I'm Mike Crute.
Merry Christmas and happy holidays to you from all of us with the Civic Media Radio Network and your local stations, The Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.